The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
There was a lot of suggestions and propositions and proposals in respect of thank yous to be given to frontline workers, particularly within the health system, wherein the suggestion was that maybe it would be that there might be a number of days off provided by way of thanks for all that they have done during the pandemic. Difficulty seems to be now that the government is looking at the cost that they'll incur to do so and beginning to wonder if it's possible at all. The cost could run to several hundred million euro, which would wipe out much of the sort of available discretionary elements in the forthcoming budget. It comes as the Fiscal Advisory Council has warned that cutting taxes while increasing spending poses a significant risk to the public finances. We'll talk to the chairman of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council in a second. But first, Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, is with us. Pat, politically speaking, is there an element of rock and hard place? There's a lot of health service workers that the government will not want to offend and annoy. And on the other hand, there's several hundred million euro of taxpayers' cash.
Yeah, well, isn't that always the way when you're approaching spending and taxing decisions in a budget? That, you know, we see it at this time of year, every year, Anton, as you'll know, that, you know, you have a myriad of competing claims and a necessarily finite pot of cash. No matter how big it is, it's always finite. And this is what makes the decision making over the next couple of weeks so difficult in government. In the case of the frontline workers and the healthcare workers, I mean, they have effectively been promised some sort of a bonus, whether it's cash or whether it's 2 weeks extra holidays, which is the proposal that was costed by the health service employers and on which we report this morning. They've effectively been promised something, but there's a whole array of other frontline workers, you know, such as transport workers, such as Gardaí, Taoiseach, or Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, speaking in the Dáil the other day, spoke about civil servants who were working on the front line during the pandemic. And he's strongly of the opinion, he says, that, you know, if there's payment for healthcare workers, it should be payment for them. So all of a sudden, you're looking at several hundred million euros as the cost of this. And as you pointed out in your intro, that monsters up most of your discretionary spend on budget day.
Is so, there also, Pat, an argument to be made that says, why, if you are going to give thanks for what is a contribution to the societal good, do you stop the line with public sector workers? Because if you look at the people who worked in retail, if you look at the people who worked in private waste management, there are, for 18 months, there were people in frontline private sector industries who kept society ticking over. If the taxpayer is going to reach in their pocket for those who did it on a public setting, shouldn't the taxpayer reach in the pocket and do it for those who did it in a private setting too?
You could certainly make that argument. It's not one I hear around government a lot. And I suppose the difference being that the government and therefore the taxpayer pays the wages of public sector workers. They don't pay the wages of supermarket workers or private waste disposal companies or whatever. And I suppose it would be open to supermarket workers and whomsoever else to approach their employers for a bonus payment or
but for in that instance, I holidays. Mean, it just seems unfair on the employer in that instance where you're saying, well, look, you should reach into your own private pocket and pay your workers for societal good, while other workers, because of a function of their employment through the public sector, do the same societal good, but the taxpayer will front up and look after them. But in either way, what are the chances, do you think, of the government being able to back down on their commitments, because they will seem deeply disingenuous after all the praise that was given to the frontline workers, won't they?
My judgment, Anton, would be that there is zero chance of the government backing down on their commitment to frontline workers in the public service. I think they will be paid something, or they will be given extra holidays. As I say, 2 weeks extra holidays is the proposal that is currently being costed. I think that is likely to be wider than is advertised at the moment as being just healthcare workers. I think it will extend to other workers across the public service, and I think the cost of it is going to be astronomical, and I think the money will be borrowed and it will be paid.
Pat Leahy, thank you so much. That's Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times. And that last sentence, it will be borrowed and it will be paid, leads us nicely to Sebastian Barnes, who is chairman of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council. And that seems to be fast becoming a sort of a motif about this upcoming budget. It's going to be borrowed and it's going to be paid. Is that wise, Sebastian?
Well, I think in the short run, if we look at this budget, there are obviously a lot of pressures coming out of COVID. There are still going to be parts of the economy that need to be supported. As we've just been hearing, government's also considering how to recognise the efforts that, that many people have made during the crisis. So I think that this is an example of the many pressures that we still have coming out of COVID. But I think also that, you know, the bigger question is really about the decisions that are being made for the long term. So giving a temporary bonus, giving some recognition 1 year is one thing. Really, the bigger question is about the permanent changes that will be affecting the public finances for many years ahead. And so we've heard talk about tax cuts. We know the government's wanting to increase current spending in a meaningful way. We know they're ramping up investment. And so the big question is, how is that going to be paid year after year after year? So in the short run, you know, additional borrowing obviously does raise the risk and the costs a bit. But the real question is where we're heading for the long term.
And as you look at it now, do you think the at least the supposition is that it'll be over-reliant on debt to fund that?
That's very much our concern. So when we saw the government's new plan, so they put out a medium-term plan in July in the summary economic statement, that was a big shift compared to what they'd said previously and in the programme for government. And now they're basically planning to borrow significant amounts every year out for the next 5 years, out to 2025 and potentially beyond. And the consequence of that is that the public debt, so public debt coming out of the crisis is going to be around 250 billion euros. It's bigger than national income. And they're not planning to reduce that in any meaningful way. Previously, they said they were going to be reducing that. We would welcome that because it's going to bring us back into safer fiscal territory and give us space to deal with future crises. But instead, under current plans, they're going to rely heavily on borrowing, and that's basically going to leave the public debt at the same level as it is now as we come out of the crisis.
Is there no argument to be made to say, well, what you do is you prime the pump, you keep the economy roaring, that increases the amount of tax receipts that you get, that puts everybody in a better position, and in the intervening time, to some extent, that will inflate down the national debt anyway. We're borrowing at a fairly cheap rate, therefore we will find ourselves in 5 years fat and happy and able to pay it down well.
So we're obviously in a favourable environment for the public debt with interest rates so low, but we basically need that low interest rate just to finance the debt that we have. It doesn't really give us space to increase the debt, and we still do need to bring it down, I think, for future cycles. We're going to be very vulnerable to an increase in interest rates, and that might, of course, be a result of higher inflation in the Eurozone. We're also vulnerable to a shortfall in growth. We know there's a lot of uncertainty around corporation tax. So a lot of good reasons to bring debt down to a lower level, and we can't rely on forever building up debt and pumping money into the economy. That's simply not sustainable.
So if you are to get the money to bring down the debt, if you were pointing at the key areas where there should be restraint, either in spending or increases in tax take, what would they be?
So our real concern is the government is trying to do all of those things at the same time. So it's trying to maintain the existing level of public services. It's trying to add to day-to-day spending. It's bringing investment up to a record level in the history of the Irish state, and also very high level by international standards, and it's talking about tax cuts. And we just don't think you can do all those things at the same time in a way that's safe. So the government's going to have to make some choices. Now, the council's mandate is really about the overall position, not about kind of any specific measures. So we don't really take a measure on that. But, for example, I think the tax cuts, you have to ask at a time where there's so much need in terms of investment for housing. If you think about all the needs that are going to be around climate change, is that really the priority to reduce the tax base at this point?
You will obviously have looked at the broader context in which this budget is coming. And there was a lot of talk over the last number of months that there was going to be an outpouring of cash from those who came through the pandemic very flush. Is that still the expectation? And what do you see as the impact of that if it does happen?
So spectacular saving last year and through the crisis because people couldn't go out and spend their money in the usual way. Of course, there are some people who've had a very hard time during the crisis, but there are others that kept their jobs, actually had wage increases, and a lot of that money got saved. So we do expect that money to go into spending. So we're expecting a fast recovery Things picked up quite a lot in the first half of the year as the restrictions started to be eased. Now restrictions are pretty much off. So we do expect a strong and fast recovery. And we expect that's actually going to be a good thing too, because it's going to reduce the amount of long-run damage to the economy from the crisis. So we do see this big amount of spending. And some of that will also show up in higher prices. But, you know, there's sort of shortages of supply in some areas and a lot of cash going after it. So we do see some inflation coming, but we expect it to be temporary.
That strong and fast recovery, is it your expectation that it is the tide that will rise all boats, or do you see any sectors which will be left behind?
I think there are still some sectors that are going to struggle for a while. You know, we've seen these changes that we're still trying to figure out. I think everyone's trying to figure out how much we're going to be back in the office, for example, but it obviously has an impact for sort of businesses in the city centres, you know, how business travel comes back, how long-haul tourism comes back. You know, there's a number of sectors that I think are going to be impacted still for some time. You know, some of those activities may not come back at all. But overall, I think the picture is very favourable. I think once people have got confidence again, people are vaccinated, people are starting to enjoy life a bit more like the way they used to. And of course, Ireland's also benefited at the same time from some activities around sort of digital and medical that have actually done quite well during the COVID period. So it's got these kind of two things are now pushing in the same direction. I think that's a reason why the recovery will be quite strong.
To take just a moment, Sebastian, look at the longer term picture. Obviously, the debt burden that we are now dealing with is in large part a legacy of the period of 2008 through to about 2011-12. How well did we do in roughly the decade that followed that in paying it down, or did we achieve very little?
We achieved some. So I think it's a kind of mixed picture. I think during that period, you know, the economy recovered actually faster than we expected after the banking crisis. And during that period, gradually the economy, the deficit was narrowed. We had 2 years where we had surpluses. Had the government stuck to its original plans, it would have reached surplus and got bigger. So we did make a little bit of progress. And of course, the strong growth helped to improve the debt ratios. So we made reasonable progress, but it wasn't spectacular. And I think we need to make sure that this time around, we do at least as well, if not better. And that's not what's going to happen if we keep spending and cutting taxes on all fronts.
You've made your position in respect of this clear over the last number of days, if not weeks. Do you think government is listening?
I hope they're listening. I think these are difficult messages. The government has to face difficult choices. I don't think I would want to be Minister for Finance at the moment, and I'm sure not many other people would. But these are genuinely hard choices. We know there are big pressures, things that need to be done. You know, the housing situation needs to be improved, improvements in healthcare. Dealing with climate change will be extremely expensive and complicated and difficult. It needs to be done, but it's not an easy thing to do. So there's a huge number of pressures on them. So I think they do face these very hard choices. Hopefully they listen to our advice and that encourages them to make good choices. But ultimately, it's a decision for them.
Sebastian Barnes, thank you very much. That is Sebastian Barnes, who's chairman of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council.